so your disability doesn't go away because you get married. And
I wish. No, well, not completely, but like.
But yeah.
Yeah, boom.
I kiss him and he's able to walk. Yeah. It turns into a...
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of
Tea Time
with Raven and Miranda.
Okay, you guys. Rarely do I watch reality show, okay?
This is true. Love is
but
blind.
When, that's you.
You watch
I watch it
with
you.
Yes.
But when I do, I like to watch real lives. I like to watch real people.
Thousand
and there was
sisters.
One show that I absolutely fell in love with, not only because it was based out of my hometown, but because it was a Le Petit Quoi couple that are thriving in these streets. You guys, I want to introduce you to Jay and Pamela from Jay and Pamela on TLC.
Yay!
Woo!
Jay and Pamela in the building.
I'm so excited to have
you guys
here.
We're so happy.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
It's really exciting.
A lot of people would probably go right into the type of disability that you have, but you can go on the show and figure that out. I want to ask about your love.
I was going to say, I have the burning question of, please tell us how you guys met.
Yes.
And fell in love.
Who's going to start? You start?
You, because you slated my DM, so.
No, first of all, no, she hopped into my Instagram live, so.
Just to say hello, innocently.
Anyway, so we were already Facebook friends, but we never talked that much. Maybe a post like, hey, I don't know, not really that much.
But
she came into my Instagram live because I used to do this like live music review show with my late mentor Simon, and she came through and I was like, oh, I remember we're Facebook friends, I'll send you my number. And so that was March 28th, 2019.
Ooh.
And then we talked ever since then.
Wow.
So our first phone conversation was 2 hours, and I talk a lot, as anyone knows. So that was a lot for her. She doesn't talk that much to people. So I locked her in.
Yeah, I'm not a phone call type person. Just text me.
Yeah, I just need to text. Yeah.
Got it.
And then in the show, you kind of talk about the fact that you were dating for a while, and then you moved to Atlanta. You come from a fantastic background of Mexican, right?
Yes.
And Jay,
first generation,
and Jay, you're obviously black from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever run into cultural differences within your relationship that you guys either had to compromise on, or like, what is that like?
Well, for me, I was fortunate that I grew up in a very diverse neighborhood and school. My parents didn't care when it came to like culture stuff. Like, I had all types of friends come over, so that wasn't an issue. And for him,
my parents were always like, you could be friends with whoever. I had an eclectic group of friends, as my parents would tell me. So I was always around different individuals. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Food-wise, I'm autistic, as like everyone knows. So like food, I'm very specific. So I only like specific meals from her culture. So I love tamales. That's my thing.
I love a tamale.
Oh man, that's all I eat. It's probably as far in tacos. As far as I'll go. People probably
and tacos with no
cilantro and onion. I know they're gonna roast
me. No salsa,
not even lime or anything.
They're gonna roast. I would put lime on it. I've gotten that far. I have upgraded and graduated to lime, okay?
Now you gotta call it limon because there's a difference.
Limon,
yeah,
okay,
limon,
yeah,
thank
limon.
You.
So, I know they would roast you in the comments. I'm sorry. It's where I'm at, you know?
So Miranda and I have definitely had cultural conversations within our relationship. It's like, you know, growing up in a black family, it's very much like, you better suck it up. Do not cry about it unless you're bleeding. And, you know, watching the show, Jay, your parents remind me of my parents, where, you know, the attitude is, you know, hey, you got something? Suck it up. You got this. Let's keep moving. Let's keep going. Did you find, what was the culture shock for you living in a black family, if there was at all?
In a lot of ways, I think the only thing that was different is that he was the only sibling. So that was very different for me. Because they will come together when it comes to food and family time. Mm-hmm. After that, everybody goes their separate ways.
Yep.
Like, they are very big on privacy of, like, the parents are the parents. You know, don't
Don't go in my bedroom without knocking.
Never
don't
seen their bedroom.
Yep.
And I always saw my parents' bedroom. Like, we're always in people's, you know, like, space business. And stuff like that. I mean, we only had one bathroom in my childhood home, and I have three siblings. So, that's four kids and two adults, and we only shared one bathroom, and then all the kids shared one bedroom.
Oh, wow.
When it came to, like you said, about, like, oh, like, suck it up and mm-hmm. stuff like that, that's how it was a lot in my home. However, my dad was more touchy-feely of, like, he would be a lot more patient when mm-hmm. it came to, like, if I would cry. He'd be like, oh, Ballad, you did break your arm, so, mm-hmm. like, makes sense, you would cry. But, like, my mom would be like, suck it up. Like, girl, we've been through this before. Yeah. You have bone disorder, suck it up, because you're going to go through this your whole life. And maybe she was in her own way for trying to, like, get that mentality of, like, it's going to be your whole life, mm-hmm. so you're just going to have to just keep it going.
Keep it going. That makes sense. On this show, Pamela, you open up about the separation and the struggles that you've had with your family mm-hmm. and your parents. What is the current status of that?
So basically, my parents did not go to the wedding mm-hmm. When we got married. My parents were very shocked because growing up, I never showed them who I was dating. I never talked about crushes. You know, I would have, you know, someone, you know.
You always had a little sneaky leak somewhere.
Cafeteria, you know, school, like, meet me at lunch, you know, and like, trade chips and stuff like that. But, like, I just never told my parents anything about that. And I guess because I was, you know, always very girly, they just had the assumption of, like, okay, you're only going to be dating a guy, and maybe you'll be married to a guy, like, 100%, mm-hmm. like, super macho guy. Mm-hmm. And I always knew I was, like, a little different, but I grew up Catholic. Mm-hmm. So I had this really bad fear because, I mean, my family was religious.
Okay, yeah.
I had to go to, what's it called? Oh, I haven't gone in so long. Mass. That is called.
Is it mass?
No. Well, yeah. Go to mass every Sunday, but go to confession.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You were like Hail Marying.
Yes. So I had to tell the priest my sins like almost every month.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And that was the only thing that I was hiding. If I had a crush on a girl or things like that, that was the only thing I wouldn't tell the priest about and things like that. Because I'm like, dang, I'm really going to like die and like burn in hell. And so I never told my parents about any of, like, crushes or anything like that. And then, thankfully, when I met Jay, I was already, like, comfortable with myself of, like, you know, talking to women, men, or androgynous. I'm pansexual, so, mm-hmm. like, I don't see gender really like that. And thankfully, when I met him, I was like, well, whatever happens, happens. I'm like, if my family is there, cool. If not, I'm like, I am tired of, like, not living authentically myself.
Yeah. And that just, like, I love that you're speaking about it because it's just the culture of being in our community. Mm-hmm. It's like we really do have to be okay with ourselves because our family might not always be there. Mm-hmm. Jay, your experience as a trans man and making your way into your skin fully, mm-hmm. the fact that, I don't know, you didn't really speak about it too much, but the way that it was portrayed in the show was that your family was totally okay with it and helped you through it, and they call you by your actual name,
yeah.
not your dead name, and it's like this beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful world that's not very
common,
dude.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm very fortunate. It's interesting because, like, My dad specifically, he's one of those people, like, once you kind of break something down to him, and if he's with it, he's with it. Like, he's all in. And so I was really fortunate he was all in on that, because I was like, this is about to be my whole entire life. So, you know, and same thing with my mom. Like, we just had conversations about what that would look like. And I was like, I'm still the same person. Like, not much is going to change because it's physical, all that stuff. But, yeah, they got my back. Like, they're not going to let anybody talk about me or anything. Like, they don't care who it is. So I'm very fortunate in that way because I know that's not everybody's story. And mm-hmm. even when we got together, I told her straight up, I was like, hey, we don't have to be together. Like, if your family is, like, super important, I'm not about to be responsible for the demise of anything mm-hmm. that you got going on. So I told her, like, hey, we don't have to be together. We can break it off now before we get too deep into it, because that's just the kind of person that I am, like, mm-hmm. you know. And so she was like, no, that's not about to happen. So here we are. So I'm very fortunate and thankful, you know, that I've had that experience, because I know it would be very tough if it was the other way around.
Yeah. How have you coped with not being in contact with your family?
It's weird, because even before him, like, we didn't have, like, a good, healthy relationship, I'll just be honest. Mm-hmm. It hasn't always been, like, his parents, you mm-hmm. know? And so the only thing that was more, that caused more pain is, like, from my dad's side, because mm-hmm. he, like I said, he was more, like, in tune of, like, how I always felt and things like that, and he would always...
You were daddy's girl.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. he would always try his best to, like, try to understand where I was coming from about anything, and so that was a huge change for me. And he has tried to reach out via text and, you know, like, hi, hello, and just, you know, how are you kind of thing. But, like, I don't know, like, in order for us to really come together is they would have to be very, not like, I don't know, like, I wouldn't say regretful, but I don't know, like, really.
They'd have to apologize.
Yeah.
You're going to have to apologize and accept my partner for who he is and yeah. what I love.
Pretty much, yeah.
I get you.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating because they liked me up until a point. And I think that's what's, like, I've learned as a person that's very interesting is, like, how someone can love you. I mean, yo, they'd be like, that's my son. Damn. Like, we in
my
there.
My mom would call him her son. Yeah. She doesn't talk like, no disrespect, no shade to my other siblings. But, like, yeah. the way she... He is the only one that I brought home ever.
I got to extra Christmas. Cookies at Christmas.
To Christmas.
You know, I know how I feel about my sweets, man. She gave me extra cookies, you know.
My sister gave him a Christmas gift. I mean, like,
so it was just for getting married?
It was just being in trance. It was literally just me being trans. That's that was
so they
it.
Found what, out
the,
later.
When they found out they later. Didn't care. Lived in a different state. They didn't care. None of that. It just so that the trans part.
When did they find that out?
So we told them recently, and the reason being was the way that she presented her parents was like they were like not great about the whole time. I was like, well, there's not gonna be any good time to, you know. And mm-hmm. I thought, like, well, maybe if they get to know me, because sometimes it feels like, hey, if we just get to know somebody.
Yeah,
they'll feel differently. So I said, man, we just gonna lock it in a little. They gonna love me, and then once we tell them, it's gonna be like, oh, that's all we gotta do. Yeah. That was my thought. Oh, you know. And again, it is where it is. Like, I don't know if it would have been if we told them up front, if it would have changed anything or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, where we're at, yeah. And so yeah, I mean, they found out pretty close to actually when we were like planning out everything for the wedding. Honestly, like her siblings mm-hmm. knew. Prior mm-hmm. and they didn't say anything because they knew how that would cause things and so yeah,
which I appreciate that they gave us time to say and they held
your
it.
Brother was super sweet on the show
and he's a real one,
and it's easier said than done, man. I mean, anybody could say you should have told him up front or you should have told him whenever, and nobody knows what would have happened. We just did what we could with where we were at, you know.
So does it feel different being married?
In some ways, yes. I think that, I don't know how to explain that day. It sounds so dramatic, but that day felt like so much peace, mm-hmm. which at first I thought like that day I was going to wake up a little bit sad, just a little bit. But, I mean, I was just super happy. And, like, even, you know, my now mother-in-law, like, we were just chilling while I was getting my makeup done, and she's, like, was hugging me, and she's like, oh, you look so beautiful, like, I'm so happy for you, too, and just being, like, in a way, like, that substitute mom in a way, and she even said, like, she even opened up, and she's like, I'm very sorry, like, your parents are not here, and I just hope, like, you know, us being here can help you know, in some type of way. It seems, and I really appreciated her saying that.
It seems to always happen. We talk about this too. Like, when you're in a relationship, especially in our community, mm-hmm. there's always one family that's going to show up a little bit more. Rarely do you get both families.
Yeah.
You really have to lean on your partner's side and things of that nature. So I understand. You guys made a really, really strong choice to get married because we were talking a couple days ago about disabled people getting married, you can really kind of mess up your standings with the government.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain that for those that don't understand what I'm talking about? Could you explain it better, please?
Just in general, the Americans with Disability Act happened in July 26, 1990. And so basically, it's basically giving us regular rights in general to be able to go to public school and for places to be accessible and things like that. Basically to allow us to just participate in society and get a job and like everybody else. And then now marriage equality is good for a lot of communities. However, it isn't yet for people with disabilities because when you have a chronic illness that it's not going to go away, you do have to rely on medical assistance for the rest of your life, which is expensive living in the country that we live in. When, for example, if you are relying on resources like the government, like for a caregiver or insurance and things like that, or Social Security, which is not a lot. People think it's a lot of money monthly, and it's not. It's not even enough to pay regular rent in the United States. And you will lose all those resources if you get married because they count it as two incomes and two people living together because...
Even if both of you are disabled.
They don't care.
Yes.
Yeah.
So your disability doesn't go away because you get married. And...
I wish. No, well, not completely, but like...
But yeah.
Yeah, boom.
I kiss him and he's able to walk.
Yeah.
It turns into...
Instead of a frog, like, start walking.
That would be funny.
But and it's wild because also to qualify for those resources is not just you're disabled and you qualify. You also have to live under poverty because you can't save. You also can't own property.
Wait, stop. You cannot own property?
No.
Can't own anything, all that stuff.
Like, you have to literally... have like nothing valuable to your name to qualify, and
you're understanding correctly, right? Disabled people can own property. You can't own property and then qualify for
disability.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Oh, okay. Right. I was about to, I was not understanding properly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understood that she was.
Whoa, America. We need to review this situation. No. That's ridiculous. Listen, I'm walking up to the government right now.
What are you saying?
We're back. We're serious.
You know, there's something else that we should walk up to.
Oh, the teapot.
And it's this teapot. Because in this teapot, we have a topic. And I would like you to please go in there and pull it out and tell us what we're talking about today on Tea Time.
Okay. Ooh,
go ahead.
Ready for some cheese may.
Hey, let's get some cheese may.
Tell us, Pamela, today on Tea Time, we're talking about...
Arguments.
Okay, so I'm interested about you two and your arguments because I know that in the beginning there was some issues because Jay is autistic and communication was not the best. And how do you guys navigate conflict?
Now it's better, thankfully. Much better. Especially that we're married.
Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely had to, you know, figure out a lot of stuff because also you don't realize your bad habits, even I'm calling myself out too. You don't realize how messed up you are, and I'm talking about myself, until like you really get into a serious and healthy relationship.
And then see it back on TV.
That part? Don't forget that part.
Yeah.
Oh my.
You got both. You got the mirror, and then you got the television to show you how fucked up you are.
Yeah. So, and then it was also very hard because I was under my in-laws' roof.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all so hard.
Yeah.
How do you deal with conflict now that you know that you're autistic? What are your coping skills? How do you navigate?
Well, I just recently started taking medication.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we are here on the meds, baby. We chill.
We both are on meds
Yeah, tag team, medication.
Couple goals.
Drugs together.
Yay. Pharmacy day.
Yeah, pop those pillies. Anyway, okay. So that honestly has been my secret is taking meds. I did that's been the most helpful.
Cause therapy.
In therapy. You know, I've been seeing a therapist for a while. And also, I just recently saw a psychiatrist. And she was like, you got a lot of anxiety, bud. You're going to need some. Get you some medication. I said, okay, so I've been taking it only for a few days, and I'm already feeling, it's probably because I'm sensitive to medication, I'm short, so it's probably like, it don't got that far to go, but I've already noticed a big difference, so.
Like what?
I naturally feel calm, like, I naturally feel like I'm not annoyed, like, things that would bother me typically don't really bother me, like, obviously I have a natural anxiety, like, stuff, but it's not as, like, everything
heightened.
I don't feel like everything's a threat, like, if you say something, I'm not always pissed off, like, and I knew that wasn't me, I just couldn't figure out, like, you tried it, my mindset, you're like, okay, maybe if I just, you know, meditate a little bit, I need to do more, like, this is not working, so, taking medication, for me personally, has been super helpful, and we've noticed it's already made a huge difference, because she's like, she'll be up here, and I'll be like, it's cool, we gonna be alright, and typically, I'll be like, what do you mean, you know, like, so, it's actually helped me a lot, so, that's been my secret right now, that's helped me on my journey, because nothing else really was helping that aspect of things. So
who's usually the first to say sorry when you guys have an argument?
Me. She's still working on it. She's gotten better. She's gotten better. She's improved. I'm the one that says sorry.
Why?
No, but now I do it earlier.
She does it earlier. You're but stubborn. I do it first. I do it first. She does it a lot earlier. So, you know.
It's within a couple of hours now.
It's not 24 hours. Who apologizes in ours?
I think we're actually really well balanced. No, I think, I think that when we are aware that one of us is a little bit more in the wrong, if you will, that, like, that's the person who comes forward. But I don't have any, I feel like you have a harder time sometimes saying you're sorry. Like, you're like, I'm not going to say sorry for that. And I say sorry all the time. Like, I overly say sorry. So I'm like, oh, sorry for being here. Sorry for breathing.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I used to say sorry like that a lot. And I promised myself, especially when I found who I was and who I liked and what I identified was, I'm like, I'm not going to apologize for just anything. Because as a female, that's just a part of the upbringing of females to apologize for everything.
And it drives Jay nuts when I say sorry when I shouldn't say sorry. He's like, you're supposed to say sorry when you're supposed to.
And it would get to me because I'd be like, damn, you say sorry to everybody else about the smallest stuff. And then when I'm like, hey, can you apologize for this? It's like, it's very difficult. So that would drive me up the wall because I'm like, damn, how easy is it to say sorry to all these people you don't even got to say sorry to? And I'm over here like, hey, girl,
you know, I realize. I realize that people that are very confident don't say that they're sorry. Yeah. And I think that in conversation in general, people who are really confident will say not like sorry for being late, but thank you for being patient. Yeah, thank you for your patience.
I like that
a lot more. There is a way of skewing a conversation so you're never putting yourself in a position of being the person to be looked down upon in any way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's interesting. And that stuck with me because I was like, I want to start utilizing that a little bit more in my life because I do apologize like you for things that I don't need to. And I think that, you know, there's a time and a place to really come forward and say, I'm sorry. And that's when you've behaved poorly or said something wrong.
But, I was in a relationship and I used to say sorry a lot. And the person came up to me, it was a girl, and she was like, you're not a sorry person. Stop saying that you're sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, if you really break down the words, what I'm doing is apologizing. So it's also the verbiage that's used.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's, I just wanted to add that.
But also, like, changing your behavior, like how many times you gotta say sorry about something that you're doing that's really messed up.
Yeah.
You know, like And it's something that we didn't talk on the show because I don't want it to make it feel like Jay's, like, the only thing with, like, his mental stuff with autism. But also, I struggle a lot, too, that wasn't on the show is anxiety. And then it also, I got sober when I got with him. So, like, early on in our relationship, we moved in during a pandemic, and then also it was both of our, even though I've dated before, it was both of our most serious relationship ever as well. And then, you know, we didn't know at the time he was autistic, and then I didn't know I had a problem. And so both of those meshing that we don't know what is going on, it gets messy. And it was really, really rough.
How many drinks did you used to take back, girl?
But she had a bottle. What was that nasty stuff I didn't like?
Fireball?
No,
it was Bacardi.
I think it was Bacardi. Oh, man. I was like, you drinking this out of the cabinet? I was like,
not out of the cabinet, Jay.
I said, dang, you know, I said, okay, because I don't drink.
And I do you, I guess.
I said, okay, girl, you know, well, I don't drink, so, and, you know, it was an easy, it became, I guess, easier for her because I didn't drink, so she didn't have somebody to be like, hey, drinking buddy. I'm like,
and
you know,
it would be embarrassing because I got drunk our first New Year's together.
Oh. Yeah, and I was like, oh, girl.
And that night, I was very embarrassed, and I'm like, oh, this is not cute. Especially, I don't want him to leave me because, like, for the first time, like, oh, I really see someone, like, in the future with, and I don't want to do that to him.
I think that one of the coolest things about being in a healthy relationship or with somebody that you know is your right person is that you have that opportunity for self-awareness and reflection, and also where you can be like, I want to improve these elements of myself. And if you have somebody who's committed to you enough so to let you go through your kind of like trials and tribulations in front of them and get more self-assured, it's really great because then you get to become a better version of yourself.
Exactly. Oh yeah, I'm way better. I told him, I'm like, I'm glad you didn't met me in my early 20s. I was a hot mess. Like, I was really, really bad. And also, like, we have both given us so much grace and patience. Like, I know this is not you. It's just that, like, you had some things that happened to you before me. And, like, you know, that's not who you are. And it's, we're going to take time to fix it.
A lot of conversations and arguments that I find Miranda and I in, when we look back at it, we're like, well, the reason I said this was because of this. And we find the trigger points and things of that nature. And we've gotten to a place in our arguments where they don't escalate as much right now. One person will be like, okay, I see where it's going. Like, I see that you're getting heated. Let me back down because we don't have to get there. My question to you both, though, and it's a little touchy, so forgive me, but with you and how you were born, do you feel like you had more of a chip on your shoulder to bite back sooner in arguments because you had to show a vibrato? Am I making sense for the question?
Yeah, I think, well, for me, I went through a lot of, like, physical abuse as a child and, like, medical stuff that, you know, it really bad. And so I always kept my mouth shut about a lot of things that I should have said something, but there was no safe space to even say anything. And so now, as an adult, I'm like, I will never allow anyone to put hands on me, to speak crazy to me, like, none of that. And so with that, now I, like, overly, like,
fight back
in a way that it's like, oh, okay, now I am in a safe space. I don't need to do that anymore.
What about you, Jay?
I mean, for me, I don't know. I don't really like arguing anyway, so it was my first time where I never had a relationship prior to her, and I thought I was a pretty chill person until I was like, oh yeah, we, you know, we getting into it. I'm like, dang, you know, we, you know. And that was something I had to get used to because she's already had experience with men, and I'm socially, like, trying to figure stuff out, and I feel like I'm having to get it together, like, right then and there. And so that was a lot for me because I don't, you know, I was like, I'm new to all this. I'm new to relationship, new to being, you know, whatever. So I felt like I had to carry on a lot of the stuff that she already had dealt with and expectations of, like, what a man is, and I'm trying to navigate what that means for me. And so I was just trying to, like, fit into all these boxes. Mm-hmm. And so when you're navigating arguments, there's things you can't do. Like, so, like, as a man, there's things, you shouldn't be putting hands on anybody. I'm just saying, like, in general, mm-hmm. the way you argue, the way that you do things, like, me, Paul, like, everything just socially that you don't typically learn growing up, socialized as, you know, a girl or as a woman, and changing all that, you're like, okay, yeah, I can't do this as a man, like, my role. So I just learned a lot of things, and it's been great, honestly. Not super easy, but worth it to me. And my dad, he would always teach me, like, man lessons. That was his thing. And, you know, I really appreciated that. And mm-hmm. I'm grateful because I have a lot of really great men that I look up to and that have helped me along the way. So mm-hmm. it's helped a lot in my journey. And, you know, I take pride in that and being able to, you know, really create who I am today, and I'm mm-hmm. always learning. So yeah. I'm honestly grateful. Like, I know in the world that we live in, people may say it as a bad thing for me to be trans, but I'm actually really grateful that I got to have this experience, because I wouldn't have become, like, who I am today. And I have such pride in, like, that, and I've been able to learn so much and really be who I am. So it worked out for me, and authenticity is very important. So you know, it was worked out how it was supposed to.
It's amazing that you have had the courage to also live in your truth, because so many people, and you too, Pamela, I think that so many people have such a hard time doing that, and then they end up living lives that don't feel fulfilled, or they're just resentful or angry or sad. And to live in your authenticity, although it might be really scary, is, I think, super important. And to kind of bring it back to the space of arguments, I think that conflict is one of those things that, again, a lot of people shy away from, like they would their truth, but conflict is really important. Yeah. And I think that conflict, and healthy amounts, right?
Okay,
we're not talking,
if you're boxing every single day,
yeah, like, keep it cute.
Yeah, exactly. Keep it cute with your conflicts. But through conflict, you, when you get to the other side of it, there's growth, there's understanding. And I think
What word?
And I think particularly in relationship, when I talk to people and they're like, oh yeah, my husband and I, or my boyfriend and I, my girlfriend and I, we never fight. Somebody's lying. Well, that scares me, because I'm like, what are you guys doing? You guys never challenge each other. Yeah. You always are the same people on the same page in agreement of everything. Like in a healthy relationship, there should be good conflict that brings you to resolution that then has you in a better space.
But I'm going to come through and say, before my relationship, the relationship right before Miranda and Miranda.
Yeah.
I never fought with anybody I was with, male or female, never fought.
And that scares me for you. And it makes a lot of sense.
Then I got into a relationship with someone from Latino descent, and the arguments were crazy.
Yeah.
Chanclas, pinching. I was like, what is happening right now? But I had never fought before, and I grew up in a family where fighting was the norm, but not conflict, actual fighting. Mm-hmm. So I didn't understand healthy conflict. Right. Anything that was a problem is a major problem in my family.
Right.
So when that fighting was happening, I'm like, oh, this is going to be the worst relationship I've ever been in. And then I was like, well, no, I'm starting to make it. But then other parts of my body got turned off because I don't do well with conflict. So when Miranda and I got together, I'm an avoidant. I will dip the fuck out if there's an argument. Like, I'm not the one. Then there was an argument that we had where I blew up, and I really showed myself, like, oh, these are the kind of arguments that you witnessed and you have been shying away from because I didn't want to repeat. And I did once, and she was like, oh my God, who are you? And I'm like, that's why I don't like to fight, because I only know how to do it one way. So I bring that up to say conflict is important, but it's teaching how to have healthy conflict and knowing how to navigate afterwards. Because I still have a hard time after a conflict bouncing back into love, because when I was growing up, it was like I didn't get spoken to for almost a week afterwards.
Same.
You know what I mean?
Same.
Like after you're in trouble, I don't care how old you are, I don't want to see you. You know?
How do you guys know the difference between when to give each other space to cool off and then like come back together and talk?
Oh, see, I struggle with that. Like I'm not. I getting better, but I'm really not good at that. And
I don't need my space.
Yeah, she needs her space. I'm not good with that. And I feel like similar because my, I guess put my business out here, but, you know, my dad and I, we were a lot of times very head-to-head about things. And, you know, like silent treatment, not talking to you. So it built up this anxiety that, like, if we argue, you're never going to talk to me again, and you're just going to go away. So, you know, you talked about being an avoidant. Like, she would be more an avoidant. I have an anxious attack. I've had an anxious attack.
Hey, Jay! Hey, Camilla!
So I'm like, cool, when we argue, you're going
to... I would lock myself in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
And block him on my phone.
And then Jay and I are like knocking at
the
door.
We're like, hello, please.
So dramatic. I know, so dramatic.
So dramatic, you guys.
I would like.
You guys are so dramatic.
I'm just trying to leave. I don't want to talk right now.
And sorry to my in-laws, that's why the lock to the bathroom broke. I never told him this.
Yes.
But that was because he like jammed the lock.
Yeah.
And we just said, sorry, they're probably watching. But like, you know, but like that's the reason why. The lock is messed up because I locked myself in there. And he's like, heck no.
And it sounds wild, like, saying it again. And I had a lot of guilt about that because I'm like, am I a, you know, am I a wild person? Like, do I need to go and check in into a, you know, a place?
Yeah, put check myself in today.
Go ahead and roll on in and be like, hey, I need some help. You know?
Like, yourself in.
Imagine the reception desk up here like, hey, I need to check myself in.
Is this accessible? Because, like,
I hear somebody.
I'm dead right now. That's
you
hilarious.
Know? And so it was one of those things like, am I okay? You know, and so thankfully, that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, we good now.
Well, I was very embarrassed because, like, what's wrong with me? Like, yeah. I've never had this happen before.
As one anxiously, I'm like a formerly, I'm getting
more getting
secure.
Better. I'm getting more secure.
So what have you, so how are you getting more secure?
What's helped is
medication.
Medication and therapy.
Well, also, as I said in the show, you know, it's like an ongoing joke. Like, you're sad. Like, I realize she's not going to, and not like she can't leave.
Did you just say she's sad? I'm a dad.
Like, you're sad. Like, you're not going anywhere. And I think once I kind of realized you're not going anywhere, it had made me feel a little better because. If you always are thinking, like, dang, they're going to leave, they're leaving. And then I'm like, okay, like, we're going to be all right.
We have the same situation. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. Because her, she was the same way. And I was like, babes, I'm not... we're married. Yeah, but I said, we're married. It's going to cost more money to unmarry.
Yeah. I'm not about to go through this.
Let me chill out, please.
Just chill the fuck out for a second. Let me be mad and get in my car and go. I'm coming back.
Yes. And now I've been I'm good at
you
it.
You are
now
much better.
When she needs to leave. But you know what else has been really interesting? And I was thinking about this the other day.
Tell me what I do.
We are, I think you said it a little bit earlier, but like our arguments really have changed. Like we don't fight the same way. And I even noticed this the other day.
Our last fight?
But I don't even remember our last fight, to be honest. But we were having a moment where I was a little bit heated and I was like kind of venting. And I could feel that like it was making Raven tense up a little bit. But then she was like, no, you're right. I saw that. And I get that. It didn't really feel like that for me. But okay, no, I hear that. And she was validating my experience instead of challenging it. Mm-hmm. And in that moment,
damn,
you're
about
what
to
it...
twist your neck.
No, because I had to learn that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's big. And what it did for me was it kind of diffused me because I didn't feel like I had to then like explain or over-explain why I was having the feelings. Yeah. She was just letting me have them, validating them where
she
saw.
It took me a long time to learn.
But it was so beautiful because then it was like I was done and I was like, all right, we can talk about something else now.
And it's true. And you were finished. You didn't keep going.
No, because I don't remember. Because
there was... I'm like, oh, that's all you needed?
Yes.
Moving on.
I got it now.
Same here. Yes. Give it to me right here,
because
honey.
I could have saved
at first, I would come off, and I'll put myself out there. I would come off like, I really don't care.
Yeah, and I was like,
and I didn't mean it like, I didn't know, I don't care about you. It just like, in that moment, because I've had issues already in the past of like, things never resolving, or like, people giving up, or like, just a lot of like, abandonment, or like, very toxicness. So I was used to that. But now when he started to explain to me, and it took a while for me to, you know, register and get the screw loose, you know, tightened. he explained to me, like, can you just say that you still love me? before you say you need to chill out?
Yeah.
Can you just say, like, you just love me back? And she, I'm like, oh.
She wants everything's going to be fine. And then my brain is like, I don't know if it is.
I can't even laugh at that because that's so fucked up to me. Yeah. Like,
but it's not about our relationship. It's about life in general.
But like, I hate that. Because when you're in the space of just needing that moment to hear the comfort or you need the reassurance.
Yeah.
I'm learning.
I really feel like it is both of y'all's responsibility to give it to us.
Yeah.
Because we know. Here's the thing. And I know that you know this too, Jay. Like, we don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen in 10 minutes.
No.
But to have your partner just be able to be like, I love you, everything's okay, gives you then the ability to just have the little Band-Aid to then, like, move through the next moment.
Exactly.
Aww.
I love you. Everything's
going to
be okay.
Okay, I love you too.
Uh-huh.
And I had to get better.
You got to finish the sentence. You got to finish it. Everything's going to be okay. You love
it. Everything's going to be okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. Jay and I are just puppy dogs. Okay. Okay. No, we're great. We're going to roll on over there and have
and
the whole meltdown.
We even compromised. He's like, okay, you're going to go in a room and how long are you going to be in there? And I'm like, I don't know how long it's going to take for me to chill out. He's like, can you just give me, like, an estimated time? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this show. Yeah. And then once I'm done, I'll come out. He's like, okay.
You better come out when that show's done.
Because he will not forget.
You better come out when that show's done.
Oh, my God. Because
my autistic guy's going to be like, all right. I know that show is done.
Now, you don't watch the credits. I know you don't. So
I know you don't. Get out of here.
And there's no ads. No ads. Extra for that.
We paid extra. Oh, come my God. Here. Hilarious.
Yeah.
I love you guys so much.
It's such a journey. Being in a relationship is a journey. And I love the fact that even though we don't really know each other and we all come from such different backgrounds and such different life experiences, we find such commonality.
Yep. Oh,
and I think that that's such a truth just about the human experience is that no matter how different we might present, we are really all the same.
Yeah,
we are all just trying to navigate this world. So we have a few rapid fire moments here, and I'm going to read and you'll tell me. Who's most likely to enter a room and immediately forget why they went in there?
Yeah.
Jay.
Yeah. For sure, I can see that.
Okay. Yeah. Who is most likely to fall asleep 20 minutes after starting a movie?
Pamela.
Me, yeah, I fall asleep.
Raven, for
I'm
sure,
tired.
With us.
We're like long lost sisters. Let's go.
Who is most likely to cry during a sappy commercial?
Pamela.
Pamela
cried. She crying.
Well, now I'm a crier. You softened me up.
Oh. I think for us,
now it's me.
Yeah.
Before it was you.
Yeah, we've switched. Laugh in the middle of an argument.
Me.
You. And a question.
Jay.
For sure.
For us?
Oh, laughing in an argument? You.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Who's more likely to get jealous more easily?
Hey, Pamela. Depending on what it is.
It depends on what it is.
I can get jealous. You can get jealous.
Be
it
so
depends.
For real.
I said that. I said it.
It's on record.
It's on record. I said it.
For us, it's just me.
It's
Raven
just
doesn't
her.
Have
I don't
like
get
a jealous bone in her body. I could be like, hi, I just had sex with someone else. She'd be like, great, how was it? Literally.
Because let me tell you why. If you want to have sex with somebody else, that's your prerogative, and I can't do anything about it. I didn't do my role enough to where it prevented you from doing it. So why am I getting jealous? That's my fault.
Because someone else just got your wife.
Because I wasn't doing my job. I have to take that L, and I can't be jealous at you and then show. That's just.
I don't know. I disagree. Who's the most likely to take the longest to respond to a text?
Me. Jay. I take a long time to respond.
Well, it depends. Like, what kind of text it is. Like, who it is and what it is.
Between
you, I mean, if you text, then I got
to
respond in 2 seconds. Can you be like, hello? I'm like, girl, hey, you just sent it 1 second ago.
I get worried about him.
Yeah.
Like, if he doesn't respond within a certain time, I'm like, dang.
A certain time is 1 second. She was like, hey, I was like, oh, let me get my fingers on here. She was like, hello? I'm like, girl, I haven't. I'm here. I'm still here.
I take a long time to text back.
But I do take a long time to text back in general.
Yeah,
that's how you are. That's because your screen light's low.
Yeah, well, that's because of our sensory sensitivity.
And his font is tiny. I'm like,
Jay, we have the same phone. That's how mine is. Oh my
font
gosh.
Tiny and then low lighting. Yes. I can't see.
You can't see.
I think between you and I, like when we talk to each other, if there is something that is
important.
Urgent,
yeah,
like we're kind of right there.
Yeah.
But if it's not, like yes, then we both kind of will take our time.
Yeah,
I don't know. Who is most likely to say they're not hungry and then eat half your plate?
You.
Me?
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's dessert.
Dessert, yeah. Oh, well, dessert,
Jay, the spark that comes over Jay's face. Yeah, I know.
He's
crazy.
He's a dessert. He's a dessert. He would wake up from his sleep.
He's your dessert. So cute. Oh my God, I love it.
I'll eat everything on the plate that she doesn't finish.
Yeah. My wife eat what's on the plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll eat everything that's on the plate. My wife eats avocado, but she cuts off the edges. I'm like, I'll take them edges. I'll take the off cuts.
I love avocados.
Oh, it's delicious.
I have, like, we were kind of talking about. Yeah. When we hung out the other day, is that I'm very food routine. So, like, when I cut an avocado, I always have to cut the ends off. I have, like, rituals.
I love that. Yep.
Yeah. So then she eats my rituals.
Yeah.
Who's the most likely to talk to your dog like it's a human? Like, all of us.
Carmella.
He said that to me the other day. He was like, why are you having a whole conversation with her?
Because they understand.
I be talking to her, too. I'm not going to front. I do be talking to Cheddar. You mean?
I think, like, they're a human when it comes to us. I think I actually talk to Quinn more like he's a human, and you talk to Quinn like he's a small baby.
Because he's a baby.
She
talked
to him like, did you hug me? Because
he's a baby.
And I'm like, Quinn, listen. This is how it's going
to
be.
That's how I talk to Chad. Yeah. That is how I talk to Chad. Like, all right, now.
You said, girl, we ain't got all day.
That's how I talk to Chad. I'm like, Quinn, you need to go upstairs right now and go to bed, and then I'm going to brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Literally, that's what she said.
Yes.
Literally every night, I'm like, Quinn, come here. It's time to brush your teeth. And then I ask him if he wants a chew.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
Puff?
You want a puff? Do you want a collagen puff?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. That's so, like, specific. So almond mom. Is that what they call them?
Yes.
Almond mom?
Yes. It's I got an almond mama right here.
I am an almond mom. Okay.
Before we toast, I just want to say, please, quick little thing about Disability Pride Month.
Oh, yes.
Give us a quick little spiel, and then we'll toast.
Okay. So, I mentioned that the Americans with Disability Act was July 26, 1990. So every month of July is the anniversary that we finally were seen as humans. So that's considered Disability Pride Month. And for us, it's so cool because, like, we're part of a lot of things. So, like, June is, like, Pride Month, and in July is Disability Pride Month. I'm like, look at it all. We're just partying every year.
So for all those people that are, like, didn't you already get a month? Disability Pride Month is separate. It's not disability and pride. Your LGBTQ.
That's how I was.
It's just you got pride for being disabled. That's all. It's completely separate. So.
Got it.
Because there was a thing called the Ugly Law.
Yeah.
Which means you were not allowed to be seen out in public if you had a physical looking disability.
I need you to stop right now. Where was that and when?
Everywhere. The whole country. And the last one, state, I can't remember which state it was. I think maybe Chicago. I'm not sure. But the last one that ended was 1970-something.
You're telling me that we had a law in America that if you did not look quote-unquote typical, you were not allowed to be seen in public?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like certain hours is like as if we're like wolves or whatever. We're like, okay, time's up. Like,
that's disgraceful. Yeah. That's disgraceful.
Yeah, there's a lot of documentaries about it, like Crip Camp on Netflix that explains a lot about that.
Wow.
Well, you know what? You guys are pushing through all the barriers and being visible in all of the different communities that you sit in, and that's another reason why I love you. I told you, Jay, that my mom is in love with you as a couple, and it took her a little while to get over my involvement in the community, but she embraced you guys so much so quickly.
Thank you.
That just goes to show the power of television, the power of authenticity, the power of being yourselves and having the education. So
let's toast.
To that.
Yay.
Tink, tink.
Tink, tink.
Tink, tink. Tink, tink. Tink, tink. Tink, tink.
Short arms. Love it.
It's okay.
Yay.
Today on Tea Time, we are toasting to Yvette.
What up?
Time out,
okay,
everybody.
Okay, time out.
So everyone's in on the joke. Yvette, who I'm about to toast to, is a cook. Mm-hmm. And when Laura was giving me the toast cards, she goes, here. And I said something about the front name. She goes, she's Yvette. And then Jack goes, no, she's not. She's a cook. So Yvette Coibia.
Ooh, Yvette Coibia.
A chef from Australia.
Not Yvette.
Not Yvette, a chef. Set a culinary world record by continuously cooking for 140 hours, 11 minutes, and 11 seconds.
Yeah, damn good.
During her marathon, she prepared hundreds of traditional Liberian and West African dishes. It was a cultural celebration as well as a fundraiser for youth education programs in Liberia and Australia.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa. So there you go. So
11 hours?
No, 11 minutes, 140
hours. 140
hours. That is like 3 days.
Okay. I think it's a little bit more than 3 days. 72 like, hours is 3 days, babe. Yeah.
So it's like that's 4 days.
It's like maybe like five.
Okay, so she cooked for like 5 days.
That's me. We were going to get there. We only had two apples.
Yeah, exactly. She cooked for like 5 days and... That's wild.
Put in the comments how many days that actually is.
If you're a mathematician, please.
Yeah, please help me out.
Here's my thing. If you're cooking for 5 days,
yeah,
that's a lot of food. That's a lot of steam in your face. Your pores are very open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your forearms are working. Are you
West
cooking
African
with wood?
Is like spices, right? So you are totally bathed in.
But yeah. Also thank you for, you know, giving these cultural celebrations to people in Liberia and Australia. Yeah. Like, come over here and cook. There's a lot of people who need to learn how to cook for 2 minutes.
Yes.
Way to go, Yvette. Way to go.
What's her last name?
Yes.
Her last name is Koibia.
Love that.
That's awesome. I want to thank
Koibia. I want to thank Jay and Pamela for being here today.
Jay and Pamela, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you for bringing awareness to your community and educating us and just being humans.
Where can people find you?
Well, y'all can find me is Hefa Mela on TikTok and Hefa Mela Official on Instagram.
How do you spell that?
Yeah, I was about to say Hefa Mela.
Oh, Hefa is Lady Boss in Spanish.
There it is. Yes. Lady Boss.
And so is Jay... I'm dyslexic.
J-E-F-A. You just gotta say your name. J-E-F-A-M-E-L-A-O-F-F-I-C-I-A-L.
Perfect.
That part.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Jay, where can we find you?
Where are we finding you?
Mini Producer. MiniProducer.
I follow him on Mini Producer.
Okay, spelling bee.
Can I hear it used in a sentence, please?
Follow Mini Producer right now.
Yes.
Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. You guys, if you really liked this podcast, don't forget to check out all the other ones on our channel. Like, subscribe, comment, and share with your friends. And don't forget to watch Miranda Moments.